Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be catching up on the situation in China, some of the supply chain challenges going on there. We'll also catch up on the price target updates we've seen on Tesla over the last couple of days. We've also got news from CATL, Volkswagen, Toyota, Rivian, and a couple other items as well. All right, another tough day in the markets today. Tesla was down 4.2%, closing at $1,045.76. The NASDAQ also down significantly, 2.2% on the day. As we had talked about yesterday, a couple of hours before market close, the FOMC, Federal Open Market Committee, did release their meeting minutes from their March meeting. Unfortunately, with the travel today, I haven't had any time to do any research on that, so we won't go into detail on that, but just be aware that that did happen today. I did successfully make it down to Austin, looking forward to the event tomorrow. It looks like Tesla is setting up some pretty interesting things so far. And Joe Tegmeyer, in his drone flyover video last night, did find a number of covered cars that presumably Tesla will have on display, alongside the semi there as well, you can see. Which, by the way, does now have that top white piece installed, so just single color paint. Anyway, it isn't uncommon for Tesla to show off their prototype vehicles at events like this. I think that would be expected. However, what's kind of interesting here is that you can see, in the covers here, two polygonal shapes, which would obviously be Cybertrucks, and we've only seen one of these at events before. Maybe it's just the new and the old prototype, maybe they just have a couple that they want to show off, but it is interesting to see, especially given the name of this event, Cyber Rodeo. So we'll see. I would keep expectations low in terms of expecting any announcements or surprises or anything like that. GigaFest, it was really just a factory tour. I'd just go into it assuming this is going to be the same. And then maybe if we're lucky, we'll find out a little bit more detail on what the specs of the new Model Y might be, maybe a little bit more info on the Cybertruck. We'll find out soon. All right, next up, I just wanted to quickly catch up on a few analyst updates that we haven't had a chance to go through yet since the delivery report. We won't spend much time on these because honestly, I just don't think there's a whole lot to say right now. Everyone's just kind of waiting to see what goes on with the supply chain in China, what goes on with the ramp for Berlin and Texas. So even as thought starters for me, there's not a lot to jump off of here. But just to catch up, we've got an update from Bank of America. They have raised their price target on Tesla from $1,100 per share now up to $1,300. And I believe that's the same price target that they had a couple months back before they lowered it due to concerns around macro. Couple of other price target increases. UBS has increased their Tesla price target from $1,000 now up to $1,100 per share. Cowen, they're a little bit more negative on the stock, but they have increased their price target up to $790. Last I have in my notes for them was $660, so pretty decent price target increase there. Then a lot of other notes from analysts, but because Tesla was pretty close to the consensus estimate, no real reason for a lot of changes here, I think. Oppenheimer, they're just reiterating their price target. Canaccord, they're still at $1,200. RBC, $1,035. Can't forget Alex Potter, of course, he is still at $1,350. Dan Ives still at $1,400. So most analysts holding their price targets and those that did change, almost exclusively I think, did increase. But honestly, that probably has more to do with what's happened with Tesla stock over the last few weeks than anything to do with their actual forecast or analysis. All right, next we're just checking in on the situation in China. The COVID lockdowns are continuing. Unfortunately, we don't have much news as it relates directly to Giga Shanghai. Bloomberg did report on this today saying that the shutdown has continued. They also note that the shortage of truck drivers, which we had mentioned previously as one of the things that Tesla was struggling with in terms of their reopening plans, which were obviously later affected by other things as well, but that truck driver shortage does continue too. Bloomberg also reports that Tesla will keep production shut down at least through Thursday. That's unsurprising because, as I mentioned before, I've been told that Tesla will give at least 48 hours notice before restarting production, and so far I haven't heard any updates on any further communication, so this is persisting. It does sound like some companies are finding ways to work around these lockdowns. Bloomberg reporting that, quote, some companies, including chip giants TSMC and SMIC, as well as iPhone assembler Pegatron Corp, have been able to keep plants running by implementing a so-called closed-loop system where workers live on-site and are tested regularly. It had been reported a while ago that that might be an option for Tesla, one that we haven't seen them pursue yet, but again, that kind of comes back to that truck shortage too. Even if Tesla was able to do something like that, they might just end up immediately constrained by something else. So I think at this point, you got to look at April and you got to say, okay, you know, best case, probably half the month or so is lost, because even if Tesla gets back in on probably the earliest at this point would be the 9th or the 10th, which wouldn't even be what I would expect, but best case scenario, then they got to kind of ramp up production again, plus then any supply chain challenges, which could have been exacerbated by this situation. I think best case, you're taking a couple weeks off there. That's probably about 25,000 vehicles worth of production. Hopefully Tesla will be able to make up for some of that lost production later in the quarter. But then again, it's right back around to how much this impacted their supply chain. There was a survey that was taken from March 29th and 30th by the American Chamber of Commerce. They surveyed 167 companies, 120 of which have operations in Shanghai. 60% of them reported slowed down production, 57% of them reported disruptions in their supply chain, and 86% of manufacturers reported supply chain disruption. And remember, this is a survey from 1 week ago. So tough situation on top of an already tough supply chain. Bloomberg yesterday reported that wait times for semiconductors actually continued to rise in March, even before this. So the economic impact continues to increase by the day, and we're just kind of left waiting to see how long China persists with this policy. Outside of China, there was also an article today by the Berlin Courier talking about some of the risks that Tesla may have at Giga Berlin due to possible embargoes or sanctions on Russian gas by Germany. Clearly, that would have a significant impact on a lot of companies in Germany. But this article notes that Brandenburg's Greens parliamentary group leader, Benjamin Raschke, says that if that gas delivery were to stop, that could threaten Tesla's production at Giga Berlin. It actually says that they'd be required to shut down. I think that's a stretch, but could threaten their production because apparently 60% of Tesla's energy is fulfilled based on that natural gas. I would assume that that figure is coming from one of the thousands of pages of approval documents. Even if Tesla did have to reduce their energy use by 60%, though, I don't think that guarantees that they would have to shut down production entirely. I'm sure there would be some impact, but especially with Tesla not even fully ramped up yet, and therefore likely not using the full energy requirements that they're going to have eventually, I'd be surprised if they had to completely shut down unless it was required by the government for them to actually divert the remaining 40% of energy that Tesla would have access to fill other needs. So I do think it's a little bit clickbaity, and I think that this risk has existed since the Russia-Ukraine conflict started, but it is still a risk and still worth thinking about. In more positive supply chain news, we do have a little bit of positive news here. CATL has been granted a second partial approval, they have said, for a battery factory that they're working on bringing online in Germany. So this plant is expected to have an initial capacity of 8 gigawatt hours per year, eventually increased to 14 gigawatt hours per year. So not the largest battery factory, but still a decent chunk of production there. This is only a couple hundred miles away from Giga Berlin. And of course, with Giga Berlin, we know how these approval processes go. We know how many steps there are. But CATL does expect the first cells to roll off the line at the end of this year. Next, we've got another update on Volkswagen. This is coming from their chief financial officer being reported by the Financial Times. Their CFO sharing some of their thoughts on growth and overall volume, saying, quote, "The key target is not growth. We are more focused on quality and on margins rather than volume and market share," end quote. He also noted something that I think we may have talked about before, but that Volkswagen, for their petrol and diesel lineup in Europe, is going to be reducing the number of models that they're offering by 60% over the next 8 years, and that's from a base of more than 100 models. That's definitely a need, and really, what risk is there to reduce the number of ICE vehicles that you're offering? Not a lot. Definitely the right move, but the comments on growth and volume are interesting. Volkswagen really not even talking about growth, instead preferring to grow through profitability. I think a strategy like that is going to work in the short term, especially when things are so supply constrained like they are right now. But unless Volkswagen actually has things that can support the high margins longer term relative to their competition, then ultimately it has the potential to make them even more vulnerable as they give up that volume and economies of scale advantage to compete on other aspects. And I think Volkswagen, in their minds, they're relying heavily on their brand as one of those aspects, or brands rather, particularly when we think of a brand like Porsche. And absolutely there is value there, but relying on brand alone, that's only going to work for so long. I mean, volume is kind of the big advantage that these other companies have over Tesla at this point in time, and for them to say that they're not going to continue to try to grow that advantage, well, that's a pretty big deal. And for them, really there's no outlet for them to even be able to talk about growing because of all the emissions requirements for 2030, for 2035, worldwide. That growth then would have to come from electric vehicles. It would have to offset any declines in internal combustion engine vehicles. And while Volkswagen is pushing in that direction, they know that there's only so much that the market is going to believe in terms of how quickly they can even aspire to grow that side of the business. So interesting comments there from Volkswagen. In terms of the other volume leader, Toyota, we've also got some news on them as well. Reuters reporting today that one of their self-driving units, Woven Planet, is working on an autonomous driving system using cameras only. And they say that gathering diverse driving data using a massive fleet of cars is critical to developing a robust self-driving car system, but it is costly and not scalable to test autonomous vehicles with expensive sensors. Well, all of that sounds very familiar. Still, I wouldn't put a whole lot of weight in that. Woven Planet did say that Toyota would still plan to use multiple sensors, such as LiDARs and radars, for robotaxis and other autonomous vehicles to be deployed on the road, as apparently this currently seemed to be the best, safest approach to developing robotaxis. So, just sort of a partial shift towards Tesla's direction, but not completely going all in. Alright, last thing here, we've got an update from Rivian. They have reported their Q1 delivery and production numbers. They say that they produced 2,553 vehicles in Q1 and delivered 1,227 in the same period. On the production end, that would be up from 1,000 vehicles in Q4, or about 75 per week, so about 150% increase quarter over quarter as Rivian ramps up. However, they do still have a long ways to go in terms of that production rate to hit their annual production guidance, which was 25,000. That was lowered in the last quarter, as we had talked about. But with this release, Rivian did say that, quote, these figures are in line with the company's expectations, and it believes it is well positioned to deliver on the 25,000 annual production guidance provided during its fourth quarter earnings call on March 10th, 2022, end quote. So significant increase in production, Rivian will have to keep up those significant increases if they do want to hit that target. Obviously, still a long way to go on that production rate. As for that delivery number, 1,200 vehicles, I'm not sure why that lags so significantly behind their production. I mean, it's less than half. In Q4, they delivered about 90% of what they had produced. So not sure why that shift. And obviously, it's not a demand constraint. Rivian has tens of thousands of orders. Maybe the pricing snafu that they had in the quarter caused some deliveries to be delayed or something like that. But without much of an increase from deliveries in Q4, the Q1 financials are going to continue to look quite rough for Rivian. All right, before we wrap it up then, just a quick reminder that there won't be a normal episode tomorrow, but we should be doing some live streaming stuff on the YouTube channel. So keep an eye out for that, especially if you are an audio listener generally. But that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you for whatever the content looks like tomorrow, Thursday, April 7th. Thank you.